time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes. Yep. January 2023. You already know what it is. The ITC. We here. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
What's good with you, man?
Man, I'm great, man. You know, celebrating.
Oh, shit.
Some life shit. You know what I mean? Nothing in specific. Just I'm feeling great. Tapping into my higher vibrations.
All right. You know okay. All
right. Got my chakras clear. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Tapping into the other side of the motherfucking universal plane.
Shit, nigga, tell us some more. That's very mystical and vague at the same time.
No, I mean, mysticism is always vague because it's hard to explain, you know what I'm saying? Mm. When you're feeling tapped in, you know. And see, if you're a listener every week, you would hear, like, remember you was, you know what I'm saying, your shit was aligning up and, you know what I mean? And then right after yours was, mine started clicking. And I was like, okay. I just followed along, you know what I'm saying, and paid attention. Mm-hmm. And now it's feeling like it's at a place of, you know, okay, yeah. Mm. Yeah, you know.
This shit is cruising. You at a cruising altitude with the universe.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The seatbelt sign is off, you know what I'm saying? Oh. They coming down the aisle with the Coca-Colas and shit.
Oh, shit. You can recline your seat.
You can recline the seat, turn your Wi-Fi on. You know what I'm saying?
Shit. You tapped in. Hell yeah. Okay. No turbulence. Nice.
Not yet. Yeah, yeah. You know, but you ain't promised no turbulence forever. So, you know, you got to enjoy those days while you got them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, man, that's good shit.
That's how I'm feeling, that's really man. Good you know, shit. You know, it's really like, you know, sometimes you just intentionally focus in and try to help yourself get to another place and help yourself get past, you know, past traumas or past, you know, hard times or, you know, things like that, you know. And it's feeling like, not that anything happened, I ain't make no deals, I ain't do nothing different. It's almost like you know, caught like glimpses of bad experience past and immediately was triggered. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, not this shit. Ah, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then you had to catch yourself. Wait a minute now. Maybe this is just a clue. Maybe this is a sign. Maybe you need to go in and revisit that place where you know, once were and get rid of it once and for all. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of it be the... not the actual experience itself, but the way the experience made you feel. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you have certain failures in your life that make you feel like that, you know, you ain't never forgive yourself for the shit. You know what I mean? You're just like, ah. Every time you get a glimpse of it, you're like, ah, nah, not that again. But sometimes you have to go ahead and crush that, forgive yourself, let that shit be in the past, and free yourself up to be going to the next place. Because... you no longer need that trauma no more. You no longer need that pain. You know what I mean? You no longer need that experience of hard times to feel like you've made it somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of times you look back like, yeah, I made it past that shit. I made it somewhere. But really, have you, if you still kind of resort to it, you know what I'm saying, when shit get tough, like, oh, you fall right back into the same steps. So... what you want to do is kill the whole shit so you ain't got to fall back in it. So
that's deep. Now, how do you, without being so specific, what tools would you say help to actively kill that shit?
Well, you have to, you know how they say you can't go around it. The best way to, you know, the other side is through sometimes. So sometimes you got to sit right in it and really, okay, deal with, all right, how did I end up there? How did I put myself in that position? How did I, you know what I'm saying, where did I fail, you know? And why does it make me feel this way? And it was never really about me, myself personally, but say when you going through hard times and you know what I'm saying, you might be broke and you look around and then you see the effects on your family and your kids, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, that hurt more than anything. That hurt more than the actual event of being broke. I told, we work on, Black Girl Stuff as a show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're always coming up with topics and shit like that. And, you know, during one of the topic sessions, I reiterated to the group sometimes that the, you know what I'm saying, being as a man, especially a black man, being broke could be the worst shit ever. You know what I'm saying? That's the worst shit you could be. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be a whole lot of things, but when you broke, boy, ain't no forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? So, so like I said on the other part, that's a broke is alone, a very solitude place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but when you got a whole family, it's not. You know what I mean? And they depending on you, and you looking around, and shit is tight, and you like, and they looking at you like, nigga, we need a new daddy.
This motherfucker's broken.
They ain't saying that because, you know, kids rarely understand the, you know, the severity of a situation. But because you still, it wasn't never to the point where, you know, it wasn't nothing to eat and we was homeless and no shit like that. But, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. in those situations, you just feel the pain of like, damn, I'm letting everybody down. Fuck myself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you get past it, and this is years. Years have gone past, but you still feel it because you might see a glitch in the matrix, and you might see something that your kid learned during that era of brokenness, and you like, damn, you know what I mean? So you get to a point like, goddamn, dog, that was, you know what I'm saying, 10, 15 years ago. You got to let that shit go, and you got to be able to move on. You got to be able to kill that whole timeline. And so sitting in it and really dealing with the thoughts of how that felt, why it felt like that, you know what I mean? How you got through it is really important because you already solved this puzzle once. Why are you letting your mind drag you back into the problem that don't even exist no more?
Mm-hmm.
So once you, like, go through the whole situation and figure out, okay, damn, that's how I got through the shit. Oh, all I got to do is keep doing shit like that. And you should never end up in a situation where you feel like that again. You know what I'm saying? Not that you won't end up in a situation, but in a situation where you feel like that and you know what I'm saying, you hold yourself to this place where you know, a standard that's fixable because it's what's done is done. So sitting through it, going through it, and coming out the other side, and then allowing yourself to forgive yourself. And that's shit. That's all I know. I don't know none of the technical, you know what I'm saying, shit for that, but that's how it
sounds. Technical enough. Sounds like if it worked, that's all that matters. Whatever the phrase it is, if it gets you where you need to be, it's technical enough. I was listening to somebody on a podcast, and they were like, yeah, man, you got to forgive yourself 1,000 times. And if you get to that 1,000th time and you still need to forgive yourself, give yourself another 1,000 times to forgive yourself. You know, it's just stay on it because you're going to make a lot of the same mistakes over and over and over again. But hopefully you learn from them. And to your point about going through it, especially if you've been through it before, because it's very easy to forget that times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you get caught up in the anxiety of it or the panic of it and the shame of it, you could forget that you've been there before and you got to just trust the process. Like your point, like just keep doing what you need to do. Like you did before, and next thing you know, you'll find yourself at the end of the tunnel. What's also funny though is, you know, you're talking about, like, you know what I'm saying, you got your family, and they be like, you know what I'm saying, whatever. But what's so funny about that moment, it was hilarious, is later on, you see a lot of that shit become leveraged for like depth or grit, or you know what I'm saying? It's like, nigga, we was fucked up when we was young, but we got through it. You know what I mean? That's just how I learned. That's how I got to, you know what I'm saying? That's how I developed my metal. And it's all of this, like, pride from it now. But before, it was a lot of resentment. It was like, why we ain't? And I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. We was talking about New York and how, you know, I've been saying for a while, New York, you know, there's so much pride in the hardship of New York. Like, we turn hardship into lifestyle. You know what I mean? There's this whole, you know, not to use the buzzword of gaslighting, but there's that thought of, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. It's like, but you struggling here, bro. You could go and live a lot better and have a washer and a dryer and a dishwasher. Shit could be way less
of your own.
Yes, you know what I mean. You don't gotta leave your domicile to wash your drawers. You could do that in the privacy of your own home. Anyway, but it was just like we was having this conversation, and like, damn, you know how shit is just getting more and more expensive, and it's just like it started to really feel like New York's always been expensive, but I really feel like It's getting to some real have and have not type shit, right? Mm-hmm. And then the levels of not only just cultural diversity, but income diversity, so much culture came from that, right? And now shit just feels so like homogenized. I was saying, you know, sometimes I be on stage at some of these clubs and the crowd just looks like the same motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't a, you know what I mean? And we're talking about like how you could actually feel it. You've been here long enough to see it. Like, but as adults, like, you know, as a kid in New York, you know it's expensive. You hear it from your parents or whatever, and you might catch a few strays or certain things you can't get. We can't afford that. We got food at home or whatever. You might see the stress of bill paying. But until that shit hit you, until you feel that shit, it's a different animal. And you like, and then, you know, it's so funny, like, how, like, now, you know, debating, looking at who you look at, some of these people in culture, it's so funny when you see people like Cardi B talking about, you know, the price of lettuce, and everybody talking about how the price of eggs then went up and shit like that. Like, there's this, it's funny that, like, you know, it's this weird convergence of, like, when you said, you know, like, being broke, especially as a man, being broke, that shit is devastating. That shit will destroy your ego. You kind of discard it. Like, I heard he broke. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how they hear about it. They hear about it first. Like, you got like a virus. Heard that motherfucker is broke. You know what I mean? So, boom. But at the same time, trying to be financially prudent. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you do realize that, yeah, eggs are getting expensive. You know, where you going to have this conversation at without somebody saying, broke ass nigga, go buy them eggs. What the fuck you want, buy half dozen? You know what I'm saying, nigga? What you going to do? But no, if you are in the world spending real money, grocery store, like, dog, when I go to the grocery store, I look at that shit like the stock market. I could see shit like, oh, this jumped from fucking $2.69, now that shit $3.19. Like, I'm peeping it. You know what I'm saying? I look at my old receipts. I'm like, oh, they really going for this shit. But you know, like, but at the same time, you gotta enjoy it. Whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. Not to say whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen, like, we don't have no agency or no, you know, it's just a free fall, but there are elements like that that will, if you're not careful, it could pull you out of the present. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like, I've been, You know, like when you were saying that whole thing about pay attention to the universe, I've been trying to do that. But then I'm also, and not to get all, and only what I will disclaimer it and shit like that. But, you know, like I've been trying to be on some, you know, gratitude shit. All that shit sounds buzzwordy and new agey and shit. But I truly try to be on some gratitude shit. Think about everything that I have. Like, boom, boom, boom. Everything. There's things that I want and there's things that I'm going for, you know. And those things may come or they may not. Whatever. We'll see what happens. All's going to come in time and you got to trust this. You got to move that. But at the same time, before you allow yourself to go down this little anxiety spiral, you got to like tap in to your point of, well, I got this. I got that. Like I got a roof over my head. I got my mind. I got my ability. I got that. You know what I mean? Like whatever, however granular you need to get to set yourself in that moment and enjoy that moment. Like, why you got today, make the most of today. Because at the end of this whole shit, all you're going to have is the memories of the days that you had. So if right. you just, at the end of it all, fucking reminiscing on days that you was worried about being fucked up, it's going to be tough. You're going to be a drag in the, you know what I mean, around the young folks or the people at the old folks home or whomever is wiping your ass. They don't want to hear all this, these fucking struggle ass, you know what I'm saying? Right. But anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to let them, you got to kill them off and let them just disappear.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? You just got to let them shit disappear. It's like, you know, when you talk about all that stuff, you know, Miriam Hosna, she does this thing called the New Earth Mystery School. She the one talk about all the time, like I'm jumping and all that.
Right.
And one of the things, you know, she said is, you know, your mind and your body, you know, your mind, you know, makes your body feels the struggle, like the stress of the struggle. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But your soul don't feel like, because it's not attached to, you know what I'm saying, the earth like that. It's not attached to this world or this, you know, it's not attached to time and all that kind of thing. And again, mm-hmm. all of this shit is all, you know, it's out there. You know what I'm saying? You got to, you know, put yourself in that type of mindset. But when you really tap into yourself and you feeling like your spiritual part of yourself, your soul part of yourself, you know, even in those times, you know what I'm saying, in order to keep creating, in order to get out of the situation, you had to find a place to where you can continue to be productive. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It wasn't like, you know, I had no job to go to. I was making all this shit up, you know what I mean? And my soul never felt pain. It never felt like, okay, this is insurmountable, you know what I'm saying? It was like, okay, we see a way out of this bitch. Now let's just put these pieces together to try to get there. And that's where you got to try to keep yourself in that space of, like, your soul ties, you know what I'm saying, to yourself. And if you live within what the world say and how the world thinks and what everybody else saying and, you know what I'm saying, all those things, then you going to feel how the world thinks you should feel. And you're going to adopt the worldly ways of the struggle. But once you forget that part and just live inside of it's like when you, that's why I like when you talk about starving artists or struggle rappers and shit like that, mm-hmm. when them niggas in the studio rapping or painting and all that type of shit, they don't feel that struggle. Them niggas just be in there doing what they do because they be tapping into a whole nother part of themselves that's not attached to the world. This is something they creating within and then it's coming out. So, you know, I could feel that, you know what I'm saying? It never disrupted my creativity. It just disrupted when you had to look up and a motherfucker asked you about, okay, now what we gonna do about this? Oh, goddamn. You know what I'm saying? Shit. You know, slap back to reality. You know what I'm saying? There goes gravity.
Yeah. Nah, it's because you get caught up, like you said, you can kind of get caught up in, like, society's idea of whatever, you know, I guess success could be or whatever. Like, I was watching this. I was online. I was looking at this cat. I came across this shit on Twitter. some dude named HB Rainey, right? And he does like these, like, I just came across one of his like videos. He does these little videos and shit like that. And some of them, they're funny. They're just offbeat shit, right? But the first one I ever came across was like some real existential, but like funny shit. But there was one line, because it was getting, everybody's, oh, he's looking into my soul and all of this type of shit. But there was one line I thought was so ill. He was like, it's like a vlog type shit. And he's talking about, you know, how you see all these people with their vlogs and they're kind of narrating their life. And he had this one point where I guess he's like, not meditating, but he's sitting in the room by himself. And it says, then I have enough. It's like on TikTok. It says, then I realize I have just enough time to ponder how capitalism is inherently anti-community and how it took having a paid-off car, a mortgage on a co-op with no cosigner, and an inheritable asset for my two beautiful, healthy children for me to feel successful. But despite all of my blessings, all it takes is simply not having a job for me to feel like a worthless piece of shit. And it was right. Just like, it was, and he, obviously the delivery is way like, just more like casual. So it's like a casual, profound type of thing, the way he throws it away. I'm just reading it as a transcript, but it was just like, you know, it's that what's next culture. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And what's next will always keep you out of the present. When it's like, yeah, right. Niggas will be at your premiere. You know what I'm saying? Yo, that's what's up, my dude. So what you got next? You're like, well, hold on. Right. We on the red carpet for this shit that I've been working on for 9 months. But, man, it's what it is, man. It's very deliberate, man. Living life how you want to live life and like, really protecting, you know what I'm saying, your sanity and all that shit. You got to be real deliberate about that shit. Like, you got to.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But
anyway. Yeah, you got to be deliberate about all this shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it take a lot of energy to create anything. You know what I mean? And when you creating your life journeys or your ideas or your career or your way.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of fucking brain energy, strength, you know what I'm saying, fortitude, you know what I'm saying, heart, all the shit, you know what I'm saying, like when you could point it out when you're talking about like the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what I'm saying, that nigga got heart, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, damn, that nigga, you know, been grinding for, you know what I'm saying, he done finally came up, he getting it, or that nigga did 10 years standing on his head, you know what I mean? Like, you have all the parallels if you're talking, like, the streets and all that stuff. Because, you know, it's just, like, more people are able to express it and people could see your struggle when you're doing that, right? When you're in jail for 10 years, people know, oh, he been down for 12. Now he done came home and they throw you a party. But when you home and then, you know what I'm saying, everybody don't have, you know what I'm saying, they not in tune to your struggle or what you're going through or how long you've been going through it,
right.
It just becomes, you know, if everybody just fast forward past that part, let's skip the intro, you know what I'm saying, and get straight to it. So, you know, the sports, you know, you could watch a nigga journey play out on TV every weekend or, you know what I'm saying, throughout the week if it's basketball or baseball. You know what I mean? Everybody, you got a jersey, you got a way to follow along, you got people that's chiming in on ESPN, but ain't none of that shit for your life. You know what I mean?
Nah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? you got to figure out how you going to do that shit without that or create all that for yourself, you know what I mean? And it's tough. It's tough because it's just you making shit up sometimes, even though a lot of what you doing, people have already been through. But you don't know everybody's story. Everybody keep their struggles and all that shit to themselves. That's why I share some of this shit, because it's like, the fuck I'm going to do, hold on to it. I could say this shit, let it go, and then I don't have to be revisiting it in my head. You know what I mean? When I'm home in my house trying to figure out my next move, I don't have to go back through all my struggles just to get started on my new idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
and you unburden yourself too, and people can relate. Like, people that are like, dealing with the shit quietly, they be like, oh shit. Like they, you know, they feel seen. I remember, like you said, people, you know, when they creating sometimes they don't be thinking about it. I remember when I was super duper broke, right? I was going through it. And I'll be honest with you, I made some of my funniest shit at that time, right? And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. Because at the same time, I remember this is around recession time and, you know, all types of shit. My bread was fucked up. And I was, it was a beautiful thing because it was like, it was the community of it all. But still, I remember talking about having all these jokes. And I remember at the end of one of these shows, there was this bad shorty. I forget her name or whatever. I don't even know if I even know her name. We were just talking. She was like, yeah, you shouldn't be talking about being broke. That shit, man, dog. That shit, oh, God. I was like, oh, damn. That's how I'm looking out here. But then I had to, like, I was really conflicted because I was like, I don't want to talk about this shit because then, you know, especially when your money is fucked up or anything is in peril, you start to get, try to get so in tune with your energy, right? So I'm like, yo, I don't know if I should even be talking about this broke shit because maybe I'm fucking casting a spell on my shit and I'll never get over it or whatever. You know, all of the little scarcity thinking fucking, you know, like the spiral. But at the same time, like the shit was hitting. And obviously it worked out, but it was just such a weird thing because it was like, it got so bad. I wasn't going to suppress it. Like it was for real. Like you could feel the shit I'm creating under duress. Like I'm not just going to be light with it. It's really hard for me to like, if I ain't feeling it, it's hard for me to like, not pull that out. You know what I'm saying? Like I can compartmentalize, but I don't think it's healthy, especially if it's something that you enjoy doing. If you're trying to express yourself, I don't feel like, those two line up. So you gotta say fuck it, man, and accept what the situation is. And I think through acceptance there's a breakthrough, and then you relate. Like that's the reality of it all, because we all can't be super nigga, you know what I'm saying? Like we could, ideally that's what you want to be, you know what I'm saying? Realest nigga ever, you know what I'm saying? Never right. Not had no bread, you know what I'm saying? All of the whatever, right. Fucking bro.
Shit, even super niggas go back to the motherfucking back cave and be like, God damn, I'm gonna do this shit.
Man, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I remember speaking of some shit like that, I remember writing some shit. I was looking through it. I was like a superhero in New York City. I might have said, I forget why. I said a superhero in New York City, you'll probably catch that nigga right at the turnstile at the subway asking a nigga to swipe him through. Just because this city just fuck your whole shit up. Nigga couldn't even be super. He can't even fight crime without just a little assistance. Nigga, just, I'm trying to save the day, my nigga. Can you just swipe me through? You know what I mean? Because he just fucked up financially.
Fuck out of here.
Intention, the fuck out of here. Nigga got his fucking, he got his cape and a Dwayne Reed bag. But anyway, man, you know.
Yeah. But yeah. Again, this conversation wasn't about being broke. Right? It's about how not allowing any struggle to keep you from being, you know what I'm saying, in your life force. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Creating your life creations and, you know what I'm saying, making moves towards where you going. Because broke and all that shit, it ain't no fucking, that shouldn't be the thing that stops you. You know?
Yeah.
It can't be. It can't be the thing that stops you. Not having the acknowledgement or, you know what I'm saying, not having a support group or not having a tribe and all that shit is not a reason to stop. You know? It's a reason to dig further, deeper into who you are and what it is, your purpose is, and where you're going. Even if you don't know your purpose, but you know you got a dream, you got an idea, you got something, you got a goal. You know what I mean? Even if that goal is not to fucking be broke, you know what I'm saying? You can't let that current situation stop you from being the motherfucker you sitting out to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, speaking of struggle, I finally got through Kindred. right?
And you struggled through that, bitch.
Huh? You said what?
You struggled
through it. I struggled through it, bro. That shit was a lot. It was heavy as fuck. And what killed me, let me tweet it, but what killed me was I got to the end of the shit, and it was a cliffhanger. I was like, yo, wait a minute. These niggas... Motherfuckers done had me in 8 hours of fucking antebellum slavery only to be like, nigga, where's you going? We ain't done. You know what I mean? I was like, God, this shit got me a little fucked up. I will say the last two episodes made me kind of appreciate the show more and chopping it up with a few people
Remind me of those last two.
What happened in the last two? It was basically, it's basically the same episode, but it's just, I don't know if it was the acting. What was it that turned me on it? It was, what happened in the last two episodes? Homegirl, I forget her name, Winnie come out the crawl space, and then she jet. They sell my man Luke, I think his name is, the black slave.
Mm-hmm.
They sell him just because he got tired of him. But you started to see, like, I guess a little bit, like, you started to see some little depth to some of these characters. They just wasn't, like, just, it wasn't just, like, a slave with just, you know, a limited context in the show. Now we're starting to realize Luke and Master, I think Tim or Tom, I forget his name. Tom, they go back from when they was kids and they were close. You know, they were close as you could be with a you know, as white people seen them as chattel. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so as close as you could be to your slave, and he kind of sold his slave a dream, like, yo, if you fuck with me, I'm gonna get you your own plantation. It's gonna, you know, I'm gonna look out, and obviously none of that shit happened. And then, that's what happened. Then Luke, you know, he was having his wife, I forget his lady's name, but his lady was having a baby, and she and the baby died. And then upon closer inspection of the baby got blonde hair. So he like, damn, you know what I mean? Well, I thought this was my child, this motherfucker, the master, sleeping with my lady. And like, it's like, damn, bro, like, you know, how much more can I take? You know, and then he started to get a little vocal about it. I think being around Dana might have been, you know, depending on who you ask, a bad or good influence, but they started to be a little bit more surly about it. I thought one of the funniest lines, but so fucked up. Master was like, I'll tell you one thing, the most depressing thing you can ever have is a melancholy slave. I said, damn, that's the most depressing thing you can have is a melancholy slave. But that shit, you know, but they see him as chattel. You know what I'm saying? So it's inconvenient. Right. That's like when your remote need a new battery. You got to slap that shit just to change the channel. This shit is inconvenient. Like, fuck. But so that shit happened. But what I was looking and went there, and then, you know, in the last episode, or maybe the second to last episode, the master, you know, walked in on, is it Dana? Yeah, walked in on Dana reading, and he was like, yo, didn't I tell you not to read? And then Dana was like, yo, I could teach you how to read. You know what I'm saying? Which is, she's like, that's an appeal. She's like, yo, you ain't got to tell nobody, I'll teach you how to read. Because she know he don't really know how to read. He been out here trying to, you know, be a fucking plantation owner since fucking seventh grade or whatever. And he got tight, you know, because God, who is this motherfucker? Your remote control again. Talking about, yo, nigga, I could teach you. Your smartphone saying, yo, I could get you right. He was like, hell nah. He dragged the shit out and started and whipped the shit out. Like, whipped it. And all this time, it's funny because the fact that she's kind of traveling between, you know, antebellum South and then back to present day or somewhat present day. Right. There was this moment of, since she's dipping and dodging, you kind of felt like she was still on the safe side of it. And that's when they really broke to whatever. Like that, all of that shit. And the fact that when she came back, she still had the whelps all on her back. Like she was bleeding and all of that shit. So I'm like, damn. But at the very end, because this is what I'm thinking. Cause now I'm engaged. Now I'm like, oh, fuck that shit. She gotta go to the refrigerator, get the hammer, and go right back to the South and just start, you know what I mean? Be the first Negro mass shooter and just start barking. You know what I mean? Fuck these muskets, nigga. I got come back with the switch. You know what I'm saying? And just start letting shit off. That's what I'm looking for. Cause I'm thinking like, this is fiction. You know, like we leveraging this trauma, but this is fiction. So like, damn, after 8 hours of this shit, or maybe four, because it's going back and forth, can we get some resolution? But then that became a whole conversation. I had a friend of mine talking about, you know, that's what would. You know, unfortunately, this is a cynical way of looking at it, but that's what we're here for on a certain level, is to, this narrative is fodder, right? So it's just like, nah, you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of more comfortable with y'all, you know, still being in limbo, in traumatic limbo at that. And then if you look at shows such as, you know, some of these other shows where there was somewhat of a resolution, or at least somewhat of some expansive thinking that happened with slavery, whether it was Underground Railroad, whether it was Lovecraft Country, all of that shit, them shits is gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the, it's a little disheartening. Like, god damn, all of that. And this is Octavia Butler, who's a black woman writer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never read Kendra, but I've always heard about her being ill. So now I think I do want to read the book to see how it ended or whatever. What did they change and all of this shit? But I'll say this. Long story short, I found myself liking it a little bit more, especially as far as the character work goes towards the end. I still kind of, it still kind of made me bugged out. Like, you escaped all of this shit, and you still most concerned with the fact that you left this white dude back there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you like fucked up over it. And the thing is, unfortunately, it's foul and all of that, but he ain't gonna be all right. You know what I'm saying? He gonna be way better than you would have been. Trust and believe. You know what I'm saying? And you just met this motherfucker.
He stuck out there, though.
You said, yeah, he stuck out there.
Stuck out there with his iPod.
She took the iPod back. She gave it to the sister. Yeah. She took the iPod back. That's why I was like, she need to come back with that pistol. You know. Let's get it cracking.
So the trip shit was, you know, one, she came back with the, you know, with the disruption, you know, as per usual. And you know, how could she not? You know what I'm saying? Coming from 2020, whatever, and dropping into that shit, how could you not come with some disruption? You know what I'm saying? Knowing what you know. So with that disruption, you know, she's still stuck in a place where the laws is against her. You know what I mean? The way of the world is against her. And shit, Master is mad because they took his little, you know what I'm saying, his little thing.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That was his, you know, his comfort, right? And his property in that time.
Right.
Like, but we shouldn't give a fuck about that. But we see he was real mad about that shit. You know what I'm saying? Some of them other ones, you know, would have been like, whatever. But that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Way. Tight about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, he was tight. He was tight. So he was down there. I'm surprised he had that much patience. You know what I'm saying? Right. He was like, Luke, you figured this shit out. You was on watch, man. Shit. Luke is conflicted between his, you know what I'm saying, his race and his owner and his future. You know what I'm saying? His future of getting land or whatever. What he thought was his future. So, shit, he held strong, you know? Old girl was like, shit, let me go the fuck back. I'm chilling. Shit, I'd rather be there than tied down in this basement. Mm-hmm. This ain't fucking freedom. You know what I'm saying? So I think the picture that it painted was that all of this shit, any decision was complicated. It was no simple decisions, especially when you coming from the 20s and be like, shit, I'll never be a slave. They'd never do that shit to me. Goddamn shit. And you end up dying that motherfucker with some slashes on your back. Then you realize that these decisions ain't as easy as you thought right. They was. You know what I'm saying?
Now you're compliant. Yeah, it's fucked up.
Right, I was like, yeah, damn, that whip is a motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I seen it in the book. This shit you know what is saying? Crazy,
You walk around in the 2020s, man, I ain't no slave, I ain't bailing no hay. God damn! You know what I'm saying? Shit. Woo, where the hell at?
What you mean? How many bundles?
Shit. Yeah, you might plot your escape, but just like with old girl. The escape ain't as easy as it seems. It ain't as free as if they make it feel like you beat the hound dogs and you're just out in the free. Right. Nah, you got to plot all the moves, and the moves take time. And in the meantime, between times, shit, you a prisoner. You worse than a slave until the point you get to the freedom, and that's the shit, man. It's like you got to go through it.
Yeah.
Not around it. No, you got to go through it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, when you know, I was pretty, like, come on, man. Why are we stuck in the damn slavery time so much, right?
Right.
I never read the book. Uh-huh. But once, like you say, once you get to those last episodes, I started to, you know, connect some of the dots. So, oh, shit, they making a parallel. They making a point. You know what I'm saying? They trying to show us, you know, how hard these decisions are, how hard, you know, the life was. It ain't just, you know, I ain't about it. It's like, okay, even the most dutiful slave, Luke, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, still get his wife, you know what I mean, took in a miserable way, mm-hmm. you know, shit. And still, once you realize what's going on and motherfucker lose interest or trust in you, then they ship you off down the river to a motherfucker you got no connection with. You got to start from scratch. No, your kid's still on the other plantation, your old lady gone, or even if she was still here, even worse. You know what I'm saying? You just ripped apart. And, you know, I like when the motherfuckers be like, you know, that trauma is in it. It can be transferred in your DNA and shit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they don't also tell you that all the good shit that happened and all of the, you know what I'm saying, the king shit that happened and all that shit can be transferred in your DNA as well then. You know what I'm saying? You think the only thing make the marker is trauma? Shit. You could pass along some of the good shit too. And I think that's why we're still able to enjoy life, even in America, and even being former slaves and all that shit, we still could find joy in our soul because it's already there.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. You know, you gotta take the good with the bad. It's unfortunate, though, that for most of pop culture or even historical accounts, that it's like the beginning, our origin story kind of starts in slavery. Like it does, it was so disconnected to what was going on in Africa and all of that. And, you know, it's just like starting off as chattel. So this whole shit is, you know, it could have been worse, that type of shit. And then the other thing that was kind of frustrating, you know, as much as my fantasy of homegirl coming through with that pistol and letting off, the thing about it, because that's what I really wanted to see, because I was upset when she looked at the shit and then closed the refrigerator. And I'm like, wait a minute, why would you not take the most, you know, up-to-date killing technology back? You know what I'm saying? Like, shit. But what you also realize, just like, you know, it's such a web, And everything is so intertwined that even beyond until her aunt showed her that Bible, which could only, that really just opened her eyes just for her own lineage. But you killed the wrong motherfucker. You fuck around, may never have a Martin Luther King, might not have an Obama, no Oprah, none of these people that give you hope in present day. You done shot down, you know what I'm saying? Their forefather, their deep-seated, you know what I'm saying? Like, the shit that they came from in a blaze of glory, you fucked it up for the future just for that satisfaction.
You done fucked it up for yourself. That's the whole point.
Yeah, you got to be careful. It's crazy.
She trying to save her own family.
It's like a minefield. Yeah. But,
Shit crazy, man. Shit crazy. I think it's an interesting take on slavery. And crazy part is when I was home in New York, the book is on my bookshelf at the house.
Look at that.
I ain't buy it, but it's there.
I ain't buy it. It made its way. Yeah. I think I got it somewhere too. I know I got one of her books, maybe Wild Seed or something, but I would always hear how ill she was. I'm just not super science fiction, but everybody was like, nah, she's the one, a point of pride. She's a black woman, and, science fiction, you don't really see a whole lot of, like you said, we don't see a whole lot of melanin in the future, So there was always, somebody pointing to her shit, you know what I'm saying? And I never cracked it open. But I think I might see what's what. But,
Word.
Yeah, damn cliffhanger.
Well, I'm glad you made it through it. You know what I'm saying?
It took a while. Fucking cliffhanger. That got me sick. I was like, word? That's what we doing? Well, stay tuned.
Yeah, that was. The ending was,
That ending was so anticlimactic.
It was just like, come that's on. What we doing? Man, fuck all this time. I'm pressing the shit for the next.
You all right?
Saying? I'm looking to skip the credits. Like, where the skip button at? You know what I'm saying? Next episode in 10 seconds.
Nah.
Nope. No, sir.
No. And in the way shit has been.
You're done.
Go ahead. What you say?
Nah, I said that shit was like, you're done.
Whole lot.
Lights came up. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to go home.
Yeah. And then it's fucked up because it's like, seeing how shit is trending, who knows if they get a second season? You know what I mean? Like, that's the fucked up thing. So now you're just staying in the cliffhanger. Ain't no, So hopefully we get something, but that's the, hopefully we get more slavery to it's terrible. You ready to go to Detroit? What you feeling like?
What up, though?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Sipping on Verner's. They really be on some real Detroit. I like some of that shit. I'm fucking with it, man. This episode, you remember? Let's talk about it. We're going to go.
It's a lot going on. It's Devil's Night. They burning shit up. You know what I mean? K-9 done offered Misha, a proposition. That he obviously couldn't refuse. Yeah. Got down. His lieutenant right hand man is still the police. Where you want to start? I'm gonna start in church. In church.
That's my favorite part. Damn, bro.
I forgot,
brother. You are. Come on.
You ain't want to ease into it.
Talk about that shit, because that was I was like, you are wild right now. You are.
I mean, what I meant to say last week, man.
You called
when,
it.
When when his wife came home with the new negligee, and you know what I'm saying? He was standing there with that credit card bill in his hand, and she was like, come hither, come get me. And then he was like, what's up with this credit card that you put in our daughter's name, fucking up her future?
Yeah.
I was like, aw, nigga, just early in the episode, you was begging for some. You know what I'm saying? That argument could have waited. nigga, until you know what I'm saying? Until y'all got y'all shit off and this shit, then you might not even been mad about the shit no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can move on to something else. Ah, damn, what was I mad about? Oh, shit.
Well, maybe have some post-coital budget talk. You know what I'm saying? That'd even be a little easier.
You know what I'm saying? But that shit would have been like, you know, baby, you know, you really shouldn't have put that card in baby girl name. We gonna cut it out, bro. You know, so I'm glad you bought yourself something nice. You know what I mean? Talking about.
Right.
But anyway, so then we flip to this next episode. You know what I'm saying? We in church, everybody having a good time. They playing the music, you know what I'm saying? Mrs. Flannery is, you know, enjoying the vibes, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? He up there in his groove, you know, he always wanted to be a musician, so he up there in his groove. Mm-hmm. Lead singer is in his grill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm talking about all and no shame.
Fire and desire.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The duets up in this motherfucker. And he wasn't even singing.
He was just all gazing. He was hitting that guitar. He was strumming the shit out of that guitar, though, with the bounce in his shoulders. Yeah, man.
Miss Finnery's face went from a smile to a frown. No time. Sick. You know what I'm saying?
He was locked in. Now, let me ask you a question, because
he ain't get the point.
I was trying to discern. There's a couple things that got me thrown off. Was that the third driver?
Which one? The white lady?
Yeah, was that the lady that was singing?
No. No, this lady singing. No, that's not the third.
Okay, because I couldn't tell. It looked like it was
the white girl. The white girl is the third driver.
Because that's what made me bug out. Because later on, when T's like, I ain't never really done nothing like this with wife or white, something about white people, and I was like, now she white. Right. I thought she was like, you know, Creole or light skin, but I guess that was two totally different women.
That's
okay.
Nah. See, that's what I thought last week. I was asking, was she white? Because I just saw the blonde hair. So obviously she was, you know, probably like a Detroit white girl with a tattoo and blonde hair, you know, had a, you know. So, but the church lady is the church lady. She was brown skinned.
I couldn't all because they had a profile and she looked like she had a mullet. I guess some bad people had mullets back then, but I thought she had the same.
Nah, that's the white girl had
that
mullet.
That's what I thought. That's why I thought they were the same woman. I thought they was the same woman.
No, the black lady was black, brown skin. She wasn't even white.
I got to look back at it again. Maybe I'm bugging. Maybe my
look back. Yeah, we know they be mixing up the characters. You don't know who T and who the plug from that line. You know, shit get kind of crazy. You know what I mean? There's a lot coming at you real fast.
So wait a minute.
But anyway.
Hold on. Was that the same lady whose fan he was fixing?
Yes, nigga.
Okay, yeah, she...
You nigga left the church to go fix the fan.
And that's crazy that the wife even let that ride out. Because she saw what it was.
I mean, she had that credit card still hanging over her head, but she did throw a zinger before the nigga walked out the door, though.
How'd you
know what I'm saying? Because, you know, she talked to Pastor Snoop.
Pastor Snoop was like,
you know what I'm saying? Shit, you might want to just be submissive, get your old man some of that thing, And then she was like, well, it's hard for me to be submissive. Yeah, she be, hey, you ain't going to get none then. So, you know what I'm saying? So then Snoop, double time, flipped on back to the other side. Hey, brother Flannery, let me holler at you for a second, put a bug in your ear. You know what I'm saying? If you need to talk about it, you know what I'm saying? Let me, what the fuck you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Your old lady had told me that, you know what I'm saying, shit went right in the bedroom. Nigga, what? Motherfucker, if you don't keep my motherfucking bedroom out your motherfucking mouth, I'm a bunch of motherfucking teeth out, nigga.
In the middle of this pulpit. Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right here. And you know what I'm saying? Nigga, I'm just saying, nigga, keep what I just say. All right, then. But you might want to find a new hiding place for your little, you know what I'm saying, black tails.
Yeah.
God, dude, motherfucker done told him about all. He was hot. Oh, that man, stay hot.
Yeah, stay on his last nerve. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Hey, like, you know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, you know, he about to go on his little tool belt, about to head out to, you know what I'm saying, Marfa House. Where you head? I'm headed to Marfa's. And matter, see, he threw her off. She was trying to get to it, but he was like, listen, here. You gonna go tell a stranger about what we doing in the bedroom?
Yeah.
He ain't no stranger. He the pastor. Mm-hmm.
On his third wife. You know what I'm talking to? Yeah.
Right. You're not gonna disrespect a man of the cloth.
Yeah.
Dude, what about some respect for me? When you earn it, nigga. That nigga stormed out there on, you know what I'm saying, pushed the pedal to the metal to get to Miss Martha house. I don't even know if that's enough.
Wanda, one of the one of the two. Something like that. She had to.
Hey, go over there.
No, go she ahead. Had the little hi-fi on. That's what they used to call it back in the day, the hi-fi.
Yeah.
The dancing hi-fi around.
With the TV and the stereo and the console in one.
With the tall speakers and shit, getting to it. Talking about, you can't dance. You know, that little challenge, that little taunt. You can't even dance.
He like. Like, girl, go on, girl,
let
go
come
on.
Off this ladder.
I mean, that's when that nigga start getting goofy. Yeah, go on, girl. Nah, you can't beat me then. Let me get off this ladder and come on and show you a thing or two.
Man. that shit was funny.
That nigga was goofy as fuck.
Get that hump out your back now. That shit had that type of energy to it. You know what I'm saying? Dancing them demons off. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get that uptight out. Oh, shit.
They ain't had a nerve to pass a nigga. What'd you get a nigga? $100?
Yeah,
the fuck?
Yeah.
That might as well have been a 500 back in them times.
Yeah.
It was Miss Martha selling dope. Out. What the fuck going on?
She put a deposit down, though. You know what I'm saying? Let you know. Hey, now.
You know what I'm saying?
There's more where that came from.
She pulled that titty money out.
Yeah, that shit warm. That's just that titty warmth. Yeah, man. So that's gonna be interesting. It was a moment where she like, when he left, she like looked off as if somebody was, I don't know if she's setting him up. Obviously, this is way too early for a ring cam, but it felt like maybe that was just a throwaway glance, but she got some designs on this cat. And the way, maybe now Driver 3 might not be in play at the moment, or maybe he might start wilding. But shit is coming out the seams. Like, the seams are starting to tear apart in their relationship. You know what I'm saying? He feel like Rodney Dangerfield in the house. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
But D, yeah, let me ask you something. You know what I'm saying? Between last season and this season, I thought they had already broke up when she let Meech come back in the house. And so I don't remember when he came back into the play, you know?
That's interesting. That's a good point. For a second, I forget how that went down. I think, yeah, that's a good point. Either way, they've been having some difficulties since last season. You know what I mean? And then maybe they worked it out or whatever. Or maybe he came back for the kids. Because I think that might have happened towards the end of last season. I think they kind of, something happened to that effect.
Meech left and then he was able to come back home.
I think some shit like that happened.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
All right. Okay. That's the old Flinnery's.
Now the young Flinnery. Well, in the young situation.
Let's go over to T.
Okay. So now T and what's Lala's character's name? Okay.
Lala.
That's just her character's name. So T and Lala. What happened initially? Oh, so T come back over to the spot. He's like, he's drive. First of all, it's Devil's Night. He's driving Nikki to school. You know what I mean? They having a good old, you know, chop up. Ha, ha, ha. You know, whatever, whatever. Then they done did some shit to his his tire. So where he had a little blowout, that shit starts swerving all over the place. Nikki hit the back of one of them dead headrests, and these them old Detroit cars. So that headrest felt like a fucking metal lunchbox. Smacked her whole, gave it a concussion. You know what I'm saying? So then he realized it's the white folks, you know what I'm saying, over at, I think, Touch of Class or whatever. Or at least the white man. He's the face of it, but he got He got a whole lot of brothers working with him. So anyway, he go see Lala. He like, yo, what's the situation with them people over there? Lala like, yo, listen, you need a little bit, some backup if you're going to be fucking with them. Because they, you know, heads up, it's deeper than rap, you know. So he like, all right, I got people. Don't even worry about that, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? I think she fucked with his, you know, a little bit of his ego there too. So, and this is also a point of pride. He could, this is something that she know, they got something in common. So like, he really got to do this cat dirty just so she know how he could get down. So now, he pull up on him, Dolo, like she said, do not do. And, they let him know, they gave him a warning, like, fam, like, you know, motherfuckers came out of everywhere. You know what I mean? Everywhere, just mad black cats coming out everywhere. Shit look like a Ford plant. Niggas is coming all out the woodwork and whatever. He ain't talking shit. It's like, fam, I think you need to leave. Or it's going to be more than your tire that's going to get blown out. So he like, all right, fair enough. So now, you know, similar to Meech, you know, his diabolical plans, them shits come together like bing, bing. So... he goes home. This is what, remember we talked about this last week. Driver 3 is like, yo, Pops is tripping, but I already know we gotta get back. You know what I'm saying? She ready to go. So he like, yo, what you know about cars? She's like, man, I know more than a man. So he's like, all right, bet. So they go out there with two big bags of sugar. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was gonna be a little bit deeper than that, but that's what they started with. They did some other shit.
No, wait. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, because when he talked to the white girl, he was like, you know your way around cars. And then when they finally talk about, yeah, we could do this, do that, and it'll be like they never know where it came from.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Then they walk in that bitch with all that sugar dripping all over the floor.
All over the floor. Shit.
Like, nigga, they're going to know exactly what a nigga did.
Fucking footprints in the sugar. You know what I'm saying? This shit look crazy. So now... throwing the sugar in the shit. I'm thinking it's gonna be a little bit more sophisticated. Long story short, they did some other shit too.
50-pound bag of sugar.
So they did all that shit. These niggas, one niggas crash out. Of course, Meech and the squad, they pull up right at the moment the motherfucker crash out. Drag him out the car and some Reginald. Is it Reginald Denny was the one that caught the ass whooping in the riots? Was it Reginald?
Yeah, I did.
Gave it to him. Yeah, so they beat him down. Bing, 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 bing. You know what I'm saying? They, you know. And then I guess that's supposed to be, you know, that's going to settle that. We'll see. Might turn into some more shit, but he got his ass whipped.
I don't see how it's going to settle that if nigga just destroyed your whole fleet, right? They did the sophisticated brake job on the white boy. But then they did the whole snow sugar job all through the whole goddamn garage. They going, nigga, destroy your whole fleet. They was already about to get down just because the nigga wrote on a flyer.
Right. They petty. Exactly. This is for real. These are real stakes.
So, yeah. Shit.
We'll see.
Nigga, destroy your fleet. We will see. You coming to kick some ass. You coming to kill a nigga.
I hope so. But I'm, you know, sometimes some of these villain plot lines, they don't last that long. They just get resolved. And it's like one or two episodes. Now we got some new villains.
Right. Them niggas out of business in Big T roll on out into the sunset with a fleet of limousines.
Right. It's the whole shit. So we'll see what happens with them. So that's one thing. Now, we could talk about, because there's still some more things. There's the K-9. Meech, I need you to do this. And then, as you said before, there's old B. Mickey with the police. And this is what kills me about the B. Mickey in the cops situation.
The cop like Tyreek, too.
You said the cop was like who?
Tyreek. Power Universe.
Yeah, word. This nigga teleport everywhere. He pull up as you about to light your cigarette. Doo-doo, hey, nigga, here's some flame. And it's like, nobody else in Detroit see you in this cop everywhere? Like, this nigga don't be no type of discreet. He pull up like he's your right hand. He with you more than you with Meech. How this shit hasn't gotten back to Meech yet is beyond me. I mean, it's killing
the
me.
The nigga get in the car with him, the police car with him. Let's go for a ride. Right outside the, what it was, the Bobbers, whatever the fuck it was at.
Coney Island, man, or something,
nigga,
like
meet
that.
Meet me around the corner or something, nigga.
You got everybody see this. Everybody. So, go ahead. What you take
so,
it.
So, man, so yeah. Man. So, you know, B-Mick and his whole campaign, when it came down, you know, the police wanted to set Meech up. And I mean, the police thirsty for this shit. I don't know how he set up raids. He set up raids like Tyreek get the Queens. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We going to get him at the spot. Wrong. You know what I'm saying? We going to set up this buy. If you don't set up this buy, I'm going to fuck you up and your mama. So, so you know, B-Mick in the heat of the moment, in the, at the height of the situation, everything ready to go, all he got to do is take these niggas to the buy. He stalled. He didn't want to do it. He couldn't figure out whether he's going to do it or not. He went, made a call. I'm not sure who is calling, but he stalled
I
out.
I thought he was calling Meech. For a second,
man. Nah, Meech was like, nigga, what the fuck? Let's go.
Right. Then, I just thought he was going to call him on his car phone.
Then here come Lamar. Blast him. Blah, 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 bum, bum, bum. You know what I'm saying? Shoot Meech up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Meech crying for help. Police like, never die, never. Never. Get on the ground, never. You know what I'm saying? You acting like them niggas in Memphis that, you know what I'm saying? It just killed the boy this week. You know?
Oh, I didn't even, I didn't hear about that, unfortunately.
Yeah, man. They just killed four, five black police killed this kid in Memphis. Beat him to death. But any old way.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you'll see about it. It's, but anyway, so, you know, the Asian cop with the you know what I'm saying, hurt herself problem. I don't know what they call that disorder when you gotta hurt yourself. I don't know what's going on with her. She burning her whole skin with the goddamn cigarette lighter. I don't know what's going on with her. And seeing, you know, all the burns look like she's been doing it for a minute, so she tripping.
It's like she been to a whole lot of clubs. Now they be stamping your hands so you can drink. Yeah, she had a whole bunch of them shits on her forearm. I like her storyline. I like her. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do with her.
Yeah, I mean, we need to know why the fuck she, what's going on with her. Was she like fire so much, like to get burnt and shit, running to burning houses and shit like that. I don't know what the fuck done happened in her life. But, you know, it's Devil's Night. They burning shit down. She running to the building to save a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So she tell them to follow her, to take her to the hospital. She create a little, you know what I'm saying, convoy and escort them to the hospital, you know. So that's, so Meech motherfucking story, that's how it ended, you know what I'm saying. It started with his cousin calling, talking about he got robbed, whatever. You know what I'm saying. So he got to go to K-9 and try to get some weight front it this time. Because he shot.
In the midst of a drought.
In the midst of a drought. So, K-9 offering him a proposition. Bring me the nigga from last week that was talking all that shit. I don't know why he couldn't just go get the nigga. I don't even know why he wanted the nigga killed. Because, you know, seemed
that he.
Well, we didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? I don't
well,
even.
Now we know, but I'm saying.
But do you think K-9 knew that at the time, or he just was mad because he hit on that at the time?
I think it felt like he knew. He felt like he at least had an idea.
So now
like,
he's
you know,
psychic and teleporting.
Well, one, he saw her. He saw him hitting on her. But if that's his lady, you know what I'm saying? You know who you with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you know what she like. If she like motherfuckers that's getting money, or if she, you know what I mean? Like, you know, she, you could tell, oh, nah, I think she might be jumping off with him. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Don't seem like enough.
Because he didn't seem surprised when he was like, was he by himself? I think that was even a moment, because I thought for a second, I thought Meech might have lied. And he kept it on. He was like, nah, he was with your girl. You know what I'm saying? He was like, okay.
Trick ass bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why he wanted homie a lot. Well, you know, like we said before, he liked to kill. That's his. He don't got no vices, but killing. Killing is his vice.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a hell of a vice.
Drink, I don't smoke. Yeah. Yeah, but I dismember a motherfucker like, yeah, shit. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, go ahead.
So, you know, now, you know, Meech went over there to try to execute the plan. You know, the nigga busting back. I don't even know what kind of plan Big Meech and them had. What B Mick was doing, bust going through the back while, you know what I'm saying? The nigga was already blasting. And if B Mick couldn't hit him from the back, I don't know why he even did that plan, but okay.
Yeah, especially if you're not trying to kill a guy.
Right. And which, then, you
know, seemed to be, yeah.
And then, okay, you get there, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You burn the nigga car, draw him out, but you don't move fast enough to get him while he out. You let him run all the way back in the house, close the door.
You all the way across the street. Yeah, right?
Like, goddamn, like, wouldn't you be right there if the, you know what I'm saying? If that was the plan to draw him out, shoot him in the foot, shoot him in the leg, something? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Be standing right there by the door? I don't know. But, so, you know, they in there blasting on him. He blasting back. I mean, he was busting at that. Bam, bam. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That will throw a nigga plan off, nigga busting at you like that.
Yeah, with intensity. These wasn't no reluctant shots. He was ready to go.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Y'all of him.
It wasn't, you know what I'm saying, no shoot to scare, nigga. That shit was bossing.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
So these niggas get all the way down the line. Old girl pull the pistol on them.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
He talk our way
of
out.
Of course, Ghost Meech Tyreek.
Yeah. Come on now.
Come on now. Shit. I don't got no shit. If I want to tell your business, shit, this ain't going to stop nothing. I don't give a fuck who you fucking shit. I can't even do a job. Okay.
Later. You stay cool.
You know what I'm saying?
This is ridiculous.
That nigga Meech smooth as fuck.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So Meech had to go back with the side nigga. I wanted to kill him myself. So, you know, Meech had to not get no weight. And then nigga like, you know, and check your cousin's story, nigga, cause shit, niggas do lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
now we hit a cousin in Cleveland, rolling through the east side with a new car, flexing.
So. Quit his job at the video store.
Yeah.
They could only work at the video store.
I guess we'll be on a field trip to Cleveland next week after Meech get out of the hospital.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he'll heal up fast, though. You know what I'm saying? It's the magical 50 Cent universe.
That Lamar medical plan.
Ah, Lamar. Lamar.
Yeah.
Lamar. Lamar.
Lamar so fun.
This nigga.
He like a friendly ghost.
Yeah.
The way he got, you know what I mean? Drop off some candy and shit. You know what I'm saying? Go see his little daughter.
This nigga got a whole bullet wound all in his abdomen.
But he moving smooth. He moving through.
Nigga moving smooth. Nigga got a brand new Jeep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Lala getting beat by her man.
Yeah, Lala being abused, that's her storyline. So that's why she's susceptible to the young nigga game.
Uh-huh. He was like, all right, well, shit, I guess this is the point where I kiss you after you telling me how you've been getting beat on.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can help you out. Don't do nothing. All right, well, let me get a kiss and send you back on to your villain. You know what I'm saying? To your abuser. Oh, shit. So there that go. I'm trying to think, what else are we forgetting about? Anything? I think that's about it. Oh, I mean, it was the moment with the, you know, I always say it's cliche, but it's, you know, kind of one of the moments to kind of, I guess, to show you the damage of it all. So he go looking for homie. He run into his old babysitter, who's not a crackhead, who got the little bit, you know, the daughter there. He called get the crack and a happy meal. You know what I'm saying? Because shit, we gotta business is business. You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy because that scene could have been powerful, But yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was just so happenstance. You know what I'm saying? It was just a random occurrence upon a long Big Meech journey. And it was so, you know what I'm saying? Like you say, cliche. It was like, you know, the way it was like, she just sang B-I-N-G-O. Wait a minute. I know that song. Every fucking body know that goddamn song, Meech. Ain't no goddamn special song.
Hey, yeah, she's not a deep cut at all.
It wasn't sung in a special tone. It wasn't nothing.
Right, not at all.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is that you? Who was my babysitter?
Meechie.
Meechie. Yeah, they could have picked a deep cut for that, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was a whole lot. She could have just, it was just as black. She could have just been singing her ABCs. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Wait a minute.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
I know that.
Wait a minute. Now I know my ABCs.
Me too.
Oh, shit. Yeah, man, that shit was crazy. That shit was crazy. It was good to see the little old school McDonald's Happy Meal box. Yeah. I don't think they do those no more. They give you shit in a fucking brown bag. Can't just, man, you better be happy, kid. There's a toy in there somewhere. Oh, man. Shit. Anyway.
Shit.
Oh, man, but I'm tuned in. I'm locked in. I don't know if you've been, are you fucking with Your Honor or nah?
Not yet.
Oh, man, check it out. It's been pretty good. Also, what I wanted to say, I mean, we talk about this shit on some production shit, but you know, Old Godfather Harlem is back.
Is it? I think I done missed the episode. I mean, season. They on what, 3?
Yeah, I think it's season 3. You missed last season?
I missed all of 2.
Really? Oh,
yeah, because, you know, that shit is on, that's like a... That shit is on Epics. Like, you know what I'm saying? You be working through trial memberships on that shit.
Yeah. That's why I was
you be
like,
double dutching trials.
Yeah. Exactly. Trials and Tribulation Network. Yeah, that shit crazy. And I heard they changed the Malcolm X character.
Did they?
Yeah.
To another actor?
To another actor, so I don't
know. Nigga, like, shit, I'm tired of this shit. Niggas don't even see me playing my
Malcolm
X.
He might start getting office. It's the second Thanksgiving in a row, niggas ain't know I was on TV. You know what I'm saying? You on TV, nigga? Oh, you, shit, I play Malcolm X.
You play Malcolm X. Denzel play Malcolm X.
Where? Where you playing Malcolm X at? Get the fuck out of here. Epic. What the fuck?
Denzel is the forever Malcolm X.
Especially, come on. Ain't nobody fucking with that. Ain't nobody fucking with that. That shit is over. That's like, it's not the same level, but it's like Paul Winfield is the ultimate Martin Luther King. I don't think there's no one, that's the only Martin Luther King I respect. I ain't seen no, I forgot what my man's name is, David Aiello or whatever his name is. I couldn't fuck with his up.
Nah.
It's Paul Winfield. Nah. Yeah, man. Anyway, oh shit, man! All right, well let's get out of here, man. Let's get out of here. It's transform rolling out. Shit, y'all. I got shows coming up. On DamianLemon.com, put up a few dates. I'm in Potsdam, PA, next month. I'm in deep somewhere in Jersey next month. I got a few local shows too. Check DamianLemon.com. I'm putting my dates up. And until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.